Hey there, welcome to the Intentional Living Center today live. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. Our phone line is open. We've got a great half hour. I have here in the studio three illusionists, three believers who love Jesus but also are illusionists. And unless they make me disappear, I think we're going to be okay this half hour. Because as believers, what is this? I mean, what is it to be an illusionist? What about magic? Is it biblical? What's Satan's power? What can we learn about Unmasking the Masquerade, a book that these three gentlemen have written? Three illusionists investigate deception, fear, and the supernatural. It's going to be a great half hour. Maybe you have a question for them. Our phone line is open. Let's get started at Intentional Living Center.
From the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, this is Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, a counselor and coach and your advocate for the family. Dr. Randy has for his guest today three illusionists, and they want to help you defeat the deception and fear that may be impeding your life. So call now, 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. Now to help you live a fearless, intentional life, here's Randy.
All right, thank you much, Kurt, and welcome to our Intentional Living Center. You know, I wish today we were on TV, not most days, because I have a face for radio, but I do wish today we could be on TV because these gentlemen could demonstrate some of the interesting aspects of being illusionists. You know, it's something that's interesting in our lives. We're attracted to it, aren't we? We look at it. We know that when a magician does something that it's an illusion, it's not real, and yet it almost feels real, and it tricks our minds. And as believers, is this something that can be a problem even in our own life? How can Satan use illusion to create fear and anxiety in our life? We're starting a series on fear and anxiety tomorrow here at the Intentional Living Center, but I wanted these three gentlemen to join me. They've written a book called Unmasking the Masquerade, Three Illusionists Investigate Deception, Fear, and the Supernatural. Dr. Toby Travis. Toby is an educator, an apologist, and a speaker. And in fact, he's the headmaster of a Christian school here in Tucson. Rod Robison's a part of our team here at Family Life Radio, and Adrian Van Vactor has a worldwide ministry reaching out and using illusion as an opportunity to reach people for Christ. So, guys, welcome to the Intentional Living Center.
Thank you.
Let me start with you, Adrian. Very briefly, and then we're going to get into some questions. By the way, I want to open the phone line. You might be thinking, as you think about magic and illusion as a listener, is it biblical? Is it what is this thing to be a Christian and be an illusionist? Maybe you have a question for these gentlemen today. I don't know if they can tell you the secrets of their illusions, but they'll maybe give you an answer to a question you've had about this topic. Give us a call, 888-888-1717. Adrian, you've been at it for a long time. Why do you do this, and what's your purpose for this?
I'm with Faith Search International, and I use the Art of Illusion as a platform of entertainment to draw people who would otherwise never set foot in church, especially in unreached parts of the world, to give an opportunity to share the gospel with the evidence, not just the what it means to be a follower of Jesus, but why. Why is it true?
I want to come back to you because I know you go to parts of the world where there's a lot of mysticism and a lot of fear, and this can be used in, you know, very evil ways as well. Come back to you, Rod. Why do you do this? I mean, you're busy with the ministry here.
Yeah.
What's your passion for this?
When I do my show in churches or for Christian organizations, I typically do what's called mentalism, which is pseudo mind reading. It looks very, very real, but I do that to show people how vulnerable we are to deception and how deception can lead us into a trap of fear. So I use that as a platform to say, hey, be careful, watch yourself, because you are easily deceived. We all are.
We saw your show the other day, and my wife on the way home said, I got to find out how Rod does that one with the books. But I know you, I won't you tell. Because we asked Rod, how do you do that? And he says, very well, thank you.
Yeah,
that's what
it
is. And what brought you into this? Toby, you're an educator, and I know you do a lot of research, but why this area?
Well, I was a performer for many years. I retired from performing about 10 years ago, but for many years performed and also produced shows for Youth for Christ and other ministries around the world. Adrian and I actually met on a project together with Campus Crusade over in India many, many years ago. But even though I've retired from performing, still see the use of illusion as a marvelous tool for introducing the topic of, well, if this is a trick, is there anything real out there? And it's the perfect platform to start talking about what's unique about Jesus. Mm. So even in all the – I'm still actively a trainer in leadership and school improvement. Even in those settings, I'll occasionally throw in an illusion as an illustration to help people get to a deeper level. You know, we are visual learners. And so you're right. This would be a perfect day for television. But we can get it done on radio as well.
And by the way, these three, they're all award-winning in what they do. They've traveled all over the world and teaching and helping people and entertaining people, but also sharing Christ. And maybe you have a question just about illusion in general or fear in general. Give us a call, 888-888-1717. We'll try to get you on the air. Adrian, I know you travel to a lot of remote places around the world. What do you see when you perform? You know it's an illusion. What do you see in the crowds in terms of their reaction to what's going on in their culture?
I see people searching for hope and not finding it. And they want to know that they're a part of something greater than themselves, something beyond what they can see, hear, taste, touch, and smell. And so they're really drawn to the mysticism in their cultures, in Africa, in Asia, whatever it may be. They are very religious, spiritual cultures, mm-hmm. but it's all based on these types of lies that we talk about in the book. You know, the basic cold reading that a psychic does, or someone who pretends to be a medium or a healer, they're all doing the same tricks, but with a different cultural backdrop or luggage, I guess you could say. And so when I look at these cultures and I do my show and then I explain how these tricks work, I have students coming to me time after time, especially in the continent of Africa. I've lived in fear my entire life, and for the first time, I don't have to be afraid because I know that I've been taught lies. Mm. And then, of course, in that moment, they've also heard we shed light on the false lies of claims of the supernatural, but we also want to shed light on the genuine supernatural, mm-hmm. that God came into this world, walked and talked with us, and did things that no magician, illusionist, or quote-unquote psychic or witch doctor could ever do, the miracles that Jesus performed to authenticate his message.
Where is Satan in all of this? Toby, give us a call if you have a question for these gentlemen on fear, on investigating deception, fear, and the supernatural. Give us a call, 888-888-1717. Where's the line between where Satan and illusion, you know, you see things that go on, sometimes you say, where's Satan in all of that?
Well, what's happened in our culture largely is the influence of what's known as dualism. It's this idea of elevating Satan to a near equal level to God, which is obviously not a biblical worldview at all, mm-hmm. and yet it's largely embraced in much of Christianity today, and that we give credit, far too much credit, to Satan than he really deserves. Now, that's not to say that he's not real. He is real. He's our adversary. But can Satan perform miracles? Mm-hmm. No. That's a unique attribute of God. Is Satan everywhere present? No, that's a unique attribute of God. And yet in our minds and worldview, many Christians have, again, elevated Satan to near equal with Jesus. And this is what raises a great deal of the fear. In fact, one study on fear makes the very strong statement that fear is an attribute of worship. We worship what we fear. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, in Scripture, we're repeatedly, many, many, in fact, hundreds of times, we're directed, do not fear, right, with one big exception, to fear mm-hmm. God and to fear God only. Well, why? Because fear, again, it's that attribute of worship. So is Satan real? Yes. Can he read your mind? No. Can he predict your future? No. He is not omniscient. Is he behind every bush, as the old saying goes? No. He's a singular angelic being who can only be in one place at a time. The joke I heard the other day is, you know, is Satan here in Tucson? No, he's far too busy in Washington, D.C. You know, but that is correct. You know, now he's an angelic being, so he's different than us. And how does he move? We don't know that exactly. But he's not God. He's not everywhere present. And we need to be careful that we're not giving Satan more credit than he's due. Because when we do, it elevates fear that's not needed.
Well, we even see the Apostle Paul talking to this young pastor, Timothy. Don't remember, you haven't been given a spirit of fear,
right, mm-hmm.
but of power and love and a sound mind. And I know, Rod, part of this whole thing is deception. I mean, that's what's happening when you see a magic show, an illusion. You were being deceived at some level, and we can kind of process it and say, well, that was interesting. But deception in our lives can be very real, and I know that's part of what you guys are trying to communicate. We got to watch out for the deception, not on the platform when you guys are performing, but in life. I mean, how does deception, how powerful is that in our life, and we got to watch out for it?
The deception that we use on stage is really a metaphor that we use to point out the fact that, yes, we are deceived. It's okay to be deceived when you see a magician on stage. You know it's entertainment, no big deal. But deception is very real. We stumble into it all the time, and it brings about fear. I have an illusionist friend named Dan Corum. Dan said to me one time, the most difficult person to deceive is the person who loves the truth more than they fear their pain. Because when we have fear in our lives, we fall into deception. Deception then causes fear, and it's like a cycle. It's deception and fear feeding on each other. And the more we understand about our ability or our vulnerability to be deceived, the less we're going to fall into fear.
Mm. You're welcome to come and join this discussion. We have three illusionists here, Dr. Toby Travis, Adrian Van Vechter, and Rod Robison. And they've written a new book called Unmasking the Masquerade. Three illusionists investigate deception, fear, and the supernatural. They perform together, and they I'm sure that young people really can benefit too, as you hear, college age
Very
or high
much.
School. And let's go to Kathy, who's on the line. Kathy, welcome to Intentional Living Center today.
Thank you, Dr. Randy. How is everybody?
I think everybody's doing great. You guys doing great?
Thank you.
The weather's great today.
Yeah.
And that's no illusion.
All right. What's your question, Kathy?
My question is, gentlemen, I was told as a young child, and it always resonated with me, that the greatest deception of all is that the devil wants us to believe that he and or evil don't really exist.
Mm. Yeah. Yep.
That's true.
Sure, right. In fact, I would say the greatest, he's successful on both ends of that spectrum. Right. So it's thinking too little of Satan and thinking too much of him. It's exactly correct. He wants us to either ignore him as being irrelevant, and then he succeeds, or he wants us to overestimate him and to see him as equal with God. So, yeah, I think that counsel that you received is absolutely spot on.
And Scripture seems to be in the Goldilocks zone. He is real, and his power is always in the lie.
Yes.
When it comes to the subject of magic, that is all deception, trickery. There's a natural explanation for any kind of phenomena that people might think they have seen. And Satan is only involved in the sense of the message that is being brought through that deception, not in the effect itself. So if you see a psychic, Satan's not helping the psychic perform miracles, but the lie that comes from that worldview and what it, how it affects believers and the non-believer, that is very much a part of the blinding minds of the unbelieving, as the Scripture says.
And I can give you an example of that. I saw a magician years ago, saw him live, and he did a trick. I won't go into all the detail because of the time, but basically it was a mind-reading kind of thing. And he was there for entertainment, and it was amazing. That guy was great, but everybody knew it was entertainment. The next night, I happened to be in the service of I stopped to take a look at a psychic, supposedly a pastor, but he was doing psychic tricks and deceiving people into believing that he could contact their departed loved ones. He did the exact same trick that the magician did the night before, and yet he was bringing people literally to tears using a trick, but framing it as, I'm able to contact your dearly departed. And I literally saw people there being totally deceived by a trick that was used, wasn't a miracle. To them it looked like a miracle, but it wasn't. But he was using it, and Satan was using it to bring a lie into those people's lives.
Kathy, thank you for your call, by the way.
Well, thank you. And I brought it up because I so often, I've been living and working in China for 4 years, and I just returned to the U.S. I was very fortunate to get to travel the world. And I found that there were people in other cultures that would see disasters and things would happen and say, oh, how could God let this happen?
Mm.
It's like, there is an evil out there, people.
Mm. That's for sure. And I think it raises the question. We see trickery or magic in the Bible. I'm thinking of Moses with the you know, Aaron's rod turning into a snake, and then we see the magician doing the same thing. Comment on that in a moment. You're welcome to join in the discussion, as we mentioned, 888-888-1717. Just a comment before we go to break. We live in a very scientific kind of age now where if you can't measure it, touch it, feel it, it doesn't exist. Then you have cultures where everything is very mystical. Where do we as Christians, where do we understand the mystical part of the universe in which we're living with things we see that we don't quite understand? What is that? Where is that coming from? We'll come to all that here in just a moment. Don't go away.
Change. Practically every politician in American history has promised to deliver change. The voters are demanding change, they say. It's time to change the failed policies of the past. But do we really want change?
Welcome to the Intentional Living Minute. Here's Rod Robinson, your Intentional Stewardship Coach.
There was one man for sure who didn't. He was the rich ruler confronted by Jesus in Luke 18. Sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor, and come follow me, the Lord told him. Suddenly, change didn't sound so good. The Bible says the man was very sad, for he was extremely rich. What about you? Ready for change? And will you be up for it when you discover the change involves your finances? Everyone thinks of changing the world, the writer Leo Tolstoy said, but no one thinks of changing himself. But you will, if you're willing to take the journey to radical stewardship.
For more insight and encouragement, go to theintentionallife.com.
The way I am living intentionally is through my work. Years ago, I was in a difficult work environment with a very difficult office manager. Through that, it was a very difficult situation, but I made a decision to find joy in the midst of that work environment, and I would pray every day and ask God to show me how I could find joy. And then I would bring Bible verses and put them in my drawer at work and read them and just encourage myself through those verses and just try to be a light, even though it was a real difficult work environment. So those are just the ways that I'm trying to live intentionally. And through that, I just feel like I have built friendships with the women at work there, and I feel that they see the love of Christ in my life, and it's given me opportunities to share Christ.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy.
Thank you much, Kurt, and welcome back to our Intentional Living Center. We're live here today with Rod Robinson, Adrian Van Vactor, and Dr. Toby Travis, three illusionists who have investigated deception, fear, and the supernatural, have written a book called Unmasking the Masquerade. Information about them and their book is at our website, theintentionallife.com. or at unmaskingthemasquerade.com, information there as well on what they do. And each of these gentlemen are busy with other areas of their life, but they come together with a passion as followers of Christ to share this message. The Bible and magic, Toby, I know this is your area of expertise and study. You know, I just think of one example in the Old Testament where Aaron, before Pharaoh drops, instructed to drop his rod, and it becomes a snake, and then the magician does the exact same thing. How do we explain that?
Well, and it's not the exact same thing. What the text says is that they did the same by their secret arts. That's Exodus 7:11. And if you look in the original language of that, that's actually a Hebrew phrase, lahat, and it means by a covert practice. So what the text is saying is that Pharaoh's magicians duplicated or attempted to duplicate the miraculous demonstrations of Moses and Aaron through a covert practice, through their secret arts. So they weren't, and what's interesting, as you follow the text, they're only able to replicate the simplest things, and then they actually get to the point where it's the magicians of Pharaoh themselves that go to Pharaoh and say, this is beyond our ability. You're dealing with the finger of God here. So they knew that this was far greater than some sort of trick that they could replicate, that they were really dealing with the genuine miraculous.
Mm. All right, let's have Judy wants to join in from Kansas City, Kansas today. Welcome, Judy, to the program. Hi. Hi there. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad you're talking about this.
Interesting topic. What's your question?
My question relates to the parable about the woman who sweeps her room and then goes away, and she comes back and she finds it seven times dirtier or something like that. And the gist of the teaching is that Satan's always waiting out there. You clean out one thing and Satan comes back. Mm. And what I certainly experience in my life is that I will start to clean up something in my life, like, say, being judgmental towards another race or something like that. And, man, it just comes back. I'm okay for a little while, and then it just comes back over and over and over again.
Hmm. Well, I
heard you all say that Satan wasn't omnipresent or omniscient, and I certainly haven't gotten to the point in my own spiritual growth where I have found a way to clearly keep Satan out of my life.
Hmm. That's a good question. I mean, if Satan, he's not everywhere, Toby, how do we approach that in terms of our walk with him, knowing that Satan and his minions are always on the pry?
Well, and what's interesting, just, and I want to point out, notice the reference there that she just made, equating Satan as equating with a personification of evil. In other words, again, we know that Satan isn't everywhere present, but we see evil as everywhere present. And this is often part of the dilemma that we see is in that creating a fear of Satan and his minions. We don't even really know what those minions are. You know, mm-hmm. We have a text in Isaiah that talks about a third of the heavens fell, but we don't. It's poetic language. We don't really even know how many angels fell with Satan. That aside, how do we fill that empty void? Well, I think you can answer that as well as we can. You know, it is, you know, Psalm 119:11, I've hidden your word in my heart. Mm-hmm. You know, it is daily being in the word, daily being in that continual state of prayer, as Paul talks about. We are vessels that need to be filled. What are we filling those vessels with continually and constantly?
Talk a little bit about mysticism in terms of, you know, as a follower of Christ, we relate to God as a spirit. How do we have to be careful in terms of knowing when we're in the wrong lane, as it were, spiritually?
Well, truth comes from God, and Scripture is how he communicated to culture. So the bottom line, we were talking about this the other day, it's a good handle on how to interpret God's word. And then you were saying earlier, we do live in a very scientific culture, age, where people are a little more analytical, a little less superstitious. And so we have to test things on the field. We can't, you know, just like we do as illusionists, when we go and see someone perform something, we don't presume that it's supernatural, but we also don't want to approach the subject with a bias that there's no such thing as a supernatural. So when we talk to our atheist friends, we say, hey, there's no reason to just assume that the natural world is all the world that all there is. But at the same time, on the other side, we shouldn't just assume that because we can't explain something that it's automatically supernatural. And so we have to have revelation, and we also have to have critical thinking skills and good observational critical skills. When we see something, we never should have assumptions about what we see, what we experience. We should always test all things, just like Scripture tells us to. Mm. Do not believe every spirit, but test all things. So we should never assume that if I'm struggling with some personal sin that somehow Satan is directly involved, even though euphemistically, Satan is used to refer to evil in the world. It doesn't necessarily mean that there is a demon or a demonic presence or Satan himself causing me. Because Jesus said, out of the heart come evil thoughts and adulteries. All these things come from our own hearts. Mm. And Satan can be referred to euphemistically, even though he's a real being. But, you know, the bottom line is we take those things to God and his sovereignty. Mm.
What is it, Rod, that you guys are really, at the end of the day, trying to accomplish?
I think, you know, as we developed the book, it sort of took a different direction from exposing deception, exposing psychics and so on, to a broader and frankly more needed topic, which is deception in general. Making people aware of their own vulnerability to deception, showing them how they can overcome fear by avoiding deception, by understanding their vulnerability to deception, and relying on the sovereignty and the love of God, that he is there to help us overcome that deception, help us overcome that fear. We don't have to fear because we can trust in him. Mm-hmm. That really is, it's a very fascinating book with lots of very interesting stories, but the bottom line is you don't have to fear.
That's why we spend so much time going through the reliability of the gospel accounts the last part of the book, because we want people to know that this isn't something that you have to set aside your brain. You don't have to check your brain out at the door. We can have great confidence that God did reveal himself in the person of Jesus. Great confidence. Not the kind of confidence that people think they have when they believe in crystals and the New Age movement that happened years ago and psychics and so on.
Mm. Well, hey, listen, we're out of time. I wish we had another half hour, hour to do this. This is great. If you all would like to read more on this topic, Rod and Toby and Adrian have co-authored a book called Unmasking the Masquerade, Three Illusionists Investigate Deception, Fear, and the Supernatural. We have information available at our website. Go to theintentionallife.com, and you can click on the broadcast highlights. All the information is there for you, including information on the book and these three. So Rod Robison, Adrian Van Vactor, and Dr. Toby Travis, thank you guys for being here today.
Thank you, Randy. Mm-hmm.
And appreciate what you're doing. And please don't make me disappear at the end of the show.
Thanks for having us.
Hey, I want to say thanks to all of you as well as listeners, part of the family of Intentional Living across the country. We'd love to hear your thoughts or comments on this. You're welcome to share them at 888-888-1717. Or go to theintentionallife.com. I want to thank our members who stand with us every month. Your financial support allows us to do this, and your financial support is really the foundation to keep this ministry going from month to month. And we'd like to send to you a new member kit. If you're not a member today, come and join us. Your support every month means a great deal. Two of our best-selling books from the Intentional Living Center, The Power of One Thing, and Star for Affection. I'll autograph both of those, along with the ongoing core teaching from the ministry. Just go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Well, thanks for joining me today on Intentional Living from our center, where we're committed to our continued research and study on what it means to be intentional in our walk with Christ. And it's because of this message that we're seeing lives transformed and people coming to Christ and being strengthened in their relationships, and that makes every day worthwhile. And we'll see you next time right here from the Intentional Living Center.